This is the Performance Dietitian Podcast. I'm Susan, and today we are going to be talking to Jessica Isaacs, and she is going to be talking to us about her journey all the way from Air Force mechanic to Mamba Sports Academy dietitian to private practice, and she's going to be giving us the rundown on her brand new nutrition course. So listen in. Welcome, Jess. I'm so glad that you could be here with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to just start off by hearing a little bit about you. Tell us where you went to school, where you did internship, how you decided to get into dietetics up to what you're currently doing now.
Sure. So I am a second career dietitian. So I started off in the military before figuring out what I wanted to do when I grew up. I went to Purdue University and got to work there in the sports nutrition under Lauren Link, and it really developed my passion for working with athletes in a sports nutrition type of role. And then from there, I did a distance internship through Wellness Workdays. Most of my rotations were set up in Indiana, in all different kinds of areas. It's really cool to get to pick and choose where I wanted to go and my preceptors based on my own personal interests. And then from there, I got my first job working in a hospital setting, and then also had an opportunity to do a little bit of private practice working in diabetes and weight management. All this time, though, my real passion was sports nutrition, but it's kind of tricky to land a role in that field. Had just some life stuff come up and randomly ended up getting a phone call one day from a friend of mine who I had met through a sports nutrition conference, and told me about a job opportunity at where I work now, which is a sports academy. It was previously called Mamba Sports Academy, co-founded by Kobe Bryant, name changed after he passed away. But it is a huge athlete training facility. It's kind of a one-stop shop for athletes of all ages, all skill levels, all competition levels. And there is really where I got my first opportunity to work in an athletic setting in sports nutrition. And then recently, with everything going on in COVID land, I've had a lot of time working from home, and I've really hit the ground running with developing some online business opportunities for myself as well.
That's awesome. And I definitely want to talk more about that, because I know that you have this amazing sports nutrition course that actually just dropped yesterday, right?
Yes, it did. I'm so excited about that.
That is super exciting. So I definitely want to talk about that. But earlier you were telling me that you actually started out kind of in the Air Force as a mechanic in the military, and now you're working as a dietitian. So can we talk a little bit more about the transition from Air Force mechanic into dietitian?
Sure. So I went into the military right out of high school, and at that point I had no idea what I wanted to do for a career. So the military was a great chance for me to kind of shape myself and to learn to be an adult before really hitting the ground running to become a dietitian. But I actually had an eating disorder for a lot of my life, starting in my teen years. And that kind of, I carried that through the military, and it reached a point until I was out of the military. My daughter was 5 years old. She started making comments about her body. She was saying things like, I'm fat, I'm ugly. And this is a small, like perfectly sized 5-year-old child. And I really knew that at that point, there was something that I was doing, something that she was seeing from me that was getting into her little 5-year-old head. And I knew that I had to really make a change with myself. So I started working on, I really wish I would have gone to an eating disorder recovery specialist of some sort, or working with a dietitian, but I didn't really know what that was or didn't really get help at that time. But I started just on my own path of learning about nutrition and learning about the role of nutrition in the body and the healing power of nutrition. And I also got into fitness and really developed a passion there. So through that recovery, started looking into what kind of careers I could make out of this to couple this newfound passion for nutrition and the healing power that it brings with it, and fitness. And that's when I learned about what a dietitian was.
How long have you been a dietitian now?
So I think I just hit, it would have been my 2-year mark in May. So not very long, but it feels like a long time already.
I would have thought you'd been a dietitian much longer.
No. So I actually started, I've been in kind of the health and fitness realm for about 8 years. I got a personal training certification and started working with bodybuilding athletes doing like diet coaching and training coaching before I became a dietitian. So I feel like I've been in the realm for a while, but yeah, only officially a dietitian for a little over 2 years now.
So that's amazing. I've actually been following you on social media, I think for probably about a year now. So I've been, and I love some of the things that you do, and we definitely have to talk about some of the hilarious things that you do, like the how-to dude. We have to talk about the how-to dude. So so for anybody who doesn't follow Jessica on social media, the how-to dude is this guy who basically walks you through how to cut up fruit and do all kinds of things, but it's you.
Yes, it's me with a mustache.
So you have to tell us how that all came about. How did you think of that?
Sure. So with what I do, I work with a lot of younger guys, and they lack all the kitchen skills. And so I was talking with some of my coworkers, some of the like sports performance coaches and basketball trainers that I work with one day. And I was talking to them about how it's difficult sometimes to really work with some of these younger athletes on things they need to do for nutrition when they lack the basic skills of execution.
Yeah.
And they relate to me that as grown adults working in, you know, working in a similar realm, that they didn't know how to do some basic things as well. One of them said that, you know, pineapple's my favorite fruit, but I rarely ever eat it because I don't know how to cut it up. And so this spawned this idea of let me teach them how to do it. So I adopted this alter ego of the how-to dude. I wear my boyfriend's like button-up Hawaiian shirts and other like cool shirts and
the backwards hat. Yeah.
And a mustache. And I talk like a dude, but I can't quite pin down if I'm from Philadelphia or Tijuana. My accent kind of varies throughout the whole thing, but it's fun. It's fun, and people seem to like it. It's just another way to kind of present nutrition education.
I was definitely going to say East Coast.
East Coast.
East Coast.
Yes.
I love the how-to dude. And when you posted that picture of you in the banana suit eating the banana, I laughed so hard.
I'm a bit of a goofball, and I think it's fun. You know, I think I entered the realm of thinking I have to be the super polished professional person, and it's not really who I am. Not that I can't be, but I find that on social media, it's fun when you can kind of bridge that gap that with that professional person that you present yourself when you're in your counseling sessions to that, you know, true image of yourself. And I think people find it relatable and fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've done a really great job of just, you know, when I go to your Instagram page, like, I know what you do and I know who you are. And when you pop up in my feed, you know, I look forward to seeing the stuff that you put out. So I think you've done a really great job there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to ask also, you know, just as a dietitian, you know, even though you haven't been a dietitian for very long, you've still been working in nutrition for a long time. And it's so funny, I don't know if you've listened to some of my past episodes, but I've kind of talked a little bit about where I come from as well, and we actually have very similar backgrounds, so that's awesome. Interesting. So kind of on your journey through nutrition and up into becoming a dietitian, what do you feel like has inspired you the most to do the work that you do?
Sure. I think really working with, there's always a handful of individuals that you look back and you feel like really proud about. And I think those opportunities that I ran into where, you know, I didn't pursue a path in an eating disorder realm, but I do run into all the time athletes and women especially, and even guys as well, that do have those body image issues and do have that unhealthy relationship with food where they go through these cycles of reward and restriction and guilt and shame, and really being able to work with individuals like that and starting to kind of empower them with the knowledge to know that this food has a function in my body, that this serves a purpose, and starting to mend that relationship with food and with their body, seeing that happen is incredible. And I would do this forever and ever and ever to really have an opportunity to help someone with that, because I think it's knowing where I came from, it was so destructive. It's so consuming. And so to be able to help somebody with some of those struggles, or to stop it before we get there with some of the young teenage athletes, that's so rewarding for me as a dietitian.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, especially now with social media, because we were just kind of talking about that, and with everything being so in your face all the time, I feel like the risk for body image issues or disordered eating patterns is, and maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems like it's so much more in your face and so much more of a risk now. You know, that comparison factor is tough, especially we were talking earlier, you know, we both have preteen daughters, and you want to protect them. And do you feel like social media plays, it makes it a little bit harder now in the role that you do?
It really does. It really does. Because, you know, so I work mostly with athletes, but I work with weight management. I work with a little bit of everything, but it's primarily athletes. And they get all the same messages that everybody else does. So they hear carbs are bad. They hear carbs will make you fat. They hear try this, you know, quick fix, try that quick fix. And they're constantly seeing these images of, you know, these chiseled bodies, especially, you know, if you dig down the rabbit hole on social media and you start following certain accounts, you start seeing just those sorts of things as well. And so they see all these images, and it's definitely a struggle to try to like recreate, to correct that or to put them back on the right course, and to really can talk to them about the difference between aesthetics and an athletic kind of fueling regimen. It's definitely challenging. I know, you know, my daughter, she's 13 now, and she's sees all sorts of things that I wish she wasn't exposed to. It's not getting any better. It's only getting worse. I wish it was different. I wish it was different.
Do you think you could maybe share some of that experience with us? You know, what are some techniques, you know, that you've maybe used with some of your clients to help them get past kind of that barrier of body image?
Sure. So, you know, some things, weight, for instance, if weight is, and getting on the scale, if I recognize with that that person that that's not a helpful thing to do, we don't track weight. You know, we look at other measurements, and I always try to get them to focus on, you know, if they come to me with like, hey, I want to get to this weight, we talk through what that means. And we talk through as well what they're really trying to accomplish. If it is trying to optimize performance, you know, I talk to them about how we can't optimize performance and have like work on a chiseled body at the same time. It's two different pathways. So it's a lot of education. And sometimes, you know, there's resistance sometimes, and it's recognizing when something's uncomfortable and navigating through that. That's always individualized. I try to get them to as well to, you know, when we do any kind of like food logging, is to encourage them to recognize non-scale things, how their energy is feeling, how much better they're performing at practices and in games, and look for other things that are indicators of success that we can measure that aren't related to body related things or weight related things.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I know, like I've started to use more frequently with my clients, is the act of journaling.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, you know, people or athletes have always maybe journaled for, you know, just recording workouts and their food intake and using it as kind of an objective tool. But one of the things that I've started to incorporate is more of that subjective journaling to help with mindset and stress. And is that something that you've used before?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I've certainly recommended it with certain clients. You know, some aren't so much into it, but the ones that'll go with me on it, I think that they do definitely find some reward in that. So that's an excellent idea. We do work on different mindfulness things. And sometimes I encourage them, I look for the things that they're passionate about and encourage them to get more of those things in their life. So, you know, for instance, if they really like dancing, maybe we're looking for like a dance class at the gym or something, that, or a Zumba class, something that really is a self-care thing for them that maybe isn't related to just diet and fitness and structure and regimen.
Sure. So let's go into your nutrition course, because I'm really excited to hear about this.
Yeah.
So I really want you to kind of talk about it. Tell us what inspired you to do it. Maybe just break it down for us, you know, and maybe talk about the process that you went through to create the course, and, you know, just whatever you think is relevant, you know, even how you're marketing the course. Because I think that kind of like what you're doing now with your online course, you know, you have a full-time job, but, you know, you having a little bit more downtime now with COVID, taking advantage of that opportunity and doing something that's beneficial for maybe some clients or for your own business? Kind of walk through that process for us.
So, you know, when COVID first hit, I was kind of, you know, I think we were all kind of adjusting to what this new normal meant. And for a lot of us, it meant losing clients and things like that. And that it was like that for me. So I have a lot of creative energy all the time, and I need to be doing something productive. So I really saw it as an opportunity to work on things that maybe I haven't had a chance to work on because I had a full-time job prior to this lockdown mode. So I took a course that I created and had given to lots of different athletes and lots of different settings and different sports. And it always went over really well. But I never felt like I had enough time to get into all the different areas that I wanted to get into. And I felt like in sessions that I had with clients, I wanted to provide more education than I ever really got the chance to do. I wanted to go all the way back to the basics and build from there with clients. So what I started to do was like, you know what, I'm going to create a course. I'm going to create this online course, and I'm going to do all the things that I've been wanting to do and pump it into this. So I took this presentation that was about an hour in length, and I doubled the content, but I broke it up into like 5 to 15 minute videos. So there's 7 units, 10 different video presentations that are, I've got these just beautiful slides that I put together, that really informational slides. And I really break it down into like simple, easy to understand information in all these different categories. So how to estimate your calorie needs, what carbs are and how they function in the body, all the different macronutrients, fuel timing, hydration, supplements, all these different areas of sports nutrition. And top of that, I created this 65-page workbook with all these, like all the handouts that I'd already created, but I revamped them and made them all beautiful. And I put together these worksheets that allows the athlete to take what they're learning from the videos and to start to apply it to what they're doing. So starting to look at, okay, I'm learning this. What am I currently doing? What am I doing well currently? And so I actually have them answer these sorts of questions. What am I doing well? And where are my opportunities for improvement? So it's asking them to take a look at what they're doing already and not necessarily overhauling everything, but seeing what's going good and where's the low hanging fruit or the opportunities to make something better. There's quizzes in there, there's homework assignments, all designed for them to, towards the end of the course, develop their own game-winning fueling plan. So they actually come up with a full schedule of what they're going to eat, all the things in line with all of my recommendations throughout the course. It's been awesome. I launched it just yesterday. I've got a few athletes doing it now, and excited to get some feedback of how much they're enjoying it, hopefully.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I've been marketing it right now on my social media. One of the things that I've noticed, though, is that my following is largely other dietitians and fitness professionals. And so, you know, the struggle is getting it into getting it to the actual target audience, which is, you know, the end user, the athlete. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a little bit of a learning curve for me is how to get this in front of athletes. So I did a couple like Facebook ads and Instagram ads. And I think what I really need to do, though, and what my next venture here is reaching out to colleges and reaching out to universities that don't have dietitians on staff and looking to sell it as a program to them, as a nutrition education program that they can offer in place of, you know, having a sports dietitian on staff.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think a lot of places, even though sports dietetics has grown a lot in the collegiate realm, I know there's definitely some schools out there who don't have access to a dietitian or to some of the resources that you could probably provide for them. So that sounds like a lot.
Yes.
But I love how one of the things you said is the first thing you have the athlete do when they take the course is self-assess themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think the self-assessment piece is super, super important. Right? So I feel like that creates a lot of buy-in for the person, kind of helps them be more self-aware. And then helping them build their own personalized plan, I think is super cool too, right? Because again, you know, if they're an active participant in what they're doing, You know, I feel like there's more buy-in. Maybe your rates of success will be a lot higher. And then you're looking at like long-term progress, right? Because they have more knowledge, they have more education. And I think as a dietitian, that's the best we can do for people is make sure they have the right information.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I want them to be able to know, to learn why and how they're making all these choices so that in after the course is done, they can continue to make those choices, but really be empowered with the knowledge of why.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the best way to help someone be successful. So the course is released. You got some guys doing it now. You have some big plans for it in the future. So we talked about your nutrition course. We talked about the Hire To Dude. We kind of talked about your social media presence a little bit. So, what are some things that you are looking to do kind of in the future with your career or with your, nutrition course?
Yeah. So, one of the other things that I was doing is recognizing that I had a lot of dietitians that, follow me and are interested in some of the work that I'm doing, or maybe struggle with, some of the graphics or struggle with kind of taking these complex ideas and communicating them in something easy to understand. I feel like that's something that I've been blessed with and with having the skill area in. And so what I've looked to do as well is help dietitians create tools for themselves as well. So I'm white labeling some of my content and some of my resources so that other dietitians can just use what I've developed and tweak it to be their own and rebrand it and use that in their own practice as well. So I've had a lot of interest in that area. So, you know, moving forward, once all the restrictions lift here, I'll be going back to Sports Academy and kind of returning to my role there. But I really do intend to continue to pursue this, this side business that I've developed with creating content, nutrition education materials. I really feel like that's an interesting niche that I found. So that's one area that I want to continue to kind of pursue and develop, but continuing to work with athletes and continuing to find ways to really educate athletes and develop tools that athletes as well can use and for their own nutrition and fueling plans.
I like that a lot. So I actually went on your website a couple of days ago to kind of just dig around a little bit, right? And I did see some of the things you were offering that were white labeled and that you could customize as well. And your handouts, they're amazing. I love the pictures. I love the colors. I love your color scheme, the green.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how did you come up with that color scheme and what kind of tools do you use to create some of your material?
You know, it's funny, this color scheme I feel like has like been stuck with me for the longest time. When I started when I was in living in Germany for a couple years, after I got out of the military, I started working with this bodybuilding team, me as a bodybuilding competitor, and then I moved back to just coaching, and it was like 25 military members or military spouses, and we competed all over Europe. And I developed that green and black color scheme for all our apparel and all of our branding. And so I don't know what it is, but it's always stuck with me. I've always liked those colors. I feel like they look nice together. That green, I like that bright green. I think it's just always been my chosen color scheme.
All right, guys. So if you haven't checked out Jessica's website, make sure you go look just so you can see her color scheme.
Thank you.
So I kind of, I usually ask this question of everybody, but for any dietitian who is wanting to maybe get into sports nutrition or for anybody who's just becoming a dietitian, you know, what are some things as far as advice that you would give someone, or what are some things that you had kind of wished that you had known kind of coming up through the dietitian ranks?
Sure. So I'll start with, you know, things I wish I knew coming up. I wish I would have invested more time in learning about counseling. You know, I think that we learn so many things about nutrition, but then when it actually comes to application of doing nutrition counseling with clients and building programs and building follow-ups, you know, building that rapport and that relationship with the client, I don't feel like I got enough of that to really feel like I was set up and ready to get into a private practice or anything like that without some sort of mentorship and guidance. So I wish I would have done a little bit more learning there and gotten a little bit more assistance there going through school. I think that's a huge skill that it feels like a lot of my peers struggle with as well. And then when it comes to getting in sports, you know, I tell everybody, if they're not a member of CPSDA, they need to become one. I know there's SCAN, and SCAN is great as well. But for me, like CPSDA and networking through CPSDA has really, truly been where I've gotten all my major opportunities. I think becoming an active member in the field that you're interested in, even though sports dietetics field has grown, I still feel like it's a really tight-knit group where everybody knows everybody. And so if you make the right relationships, the right connections, and you show what you've got to the right people, you're gonna be a phone call away from an opportunity when they come up, because that's truly how it works. When there's an opportunity that arises, the sports dietitian, whoever is like overseeing that opportunity, is going to reach out to their peers in the field. Hey, who you got? Who's coming up in the field? Who do you have that might be interested in it? So it's important to just, I think, you know, some of my peers I saw just kind of get by in school. But in school, when you're learning to become a dietitian, all your professors are dietitians, and all the people that you're working with are dietitians. So if you use all of that as an opportunity to just show your best self and present your best work all the time and really groom and create those relationships, it's amazing how set up you'll be coming out of school versus, you know, someone who's like, shoot, you know, I was sleeping through a class and just getting by, and now you're being passed over for opportunities. So connect, and always do great work.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So networking is super, super important. And honestly, a lot of the connections that I've made are just come from networking. There's a lot of people that I work with now that I had never met until I reached out to them, or I met them at conferences, or whatever the case may be. So I 100% agree with that. Yeah. All right. Awesome. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, if they have questions for you, if they want to learn more about what you do, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. So easiest way is on Instagram, at Jessica, the sports RD for registered dietitian. And then my website's the same thing, jessicathesportsrd.com. Email address is the same as well, jessicathesportsrd@gmail.com. So any of those pathways works great for me.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. All right, so that was Jessica, guys. You need to hop over to her Instagram and make sure you check her out at jessicathesportsrd. And she is hilarious. She's been doing a lot of awesome things with reels, and her videos are just hilarious. So make sure you head over there, check her out in the banana suit. Now, she has recently left Sports Academy. When we recorded this episode, she was still with them, but she is out on her own now, doing her own thing in private practice. And I'm telling you guys, you don't want to miss out on some of the awesome things she has going on. So that's it for this episode. And I will see you guys next time.